There was a great king in the land of Israel. There was a mighty man who walked by faith until the day that he saw something. This great king that I'm speaking of is King David. And in 2 Samuel chapter 11, verses 1 through 5, we read of this king. And it says that it happened in the spring of the year, at the time when kings go out to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel. And they destroyed the people of Ammon and besieged Rabbah. But David remained at Jerusalem. Then it happened one evening that David arose from his bed and walked on the roof of the king's house. And from the roof, he saw a woman bathing. And the woman was very beautiful to behold. So David sent and inquired about the woman. And someone said, "Is this not Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite?" Then David sent messengers and took her, and she came to him, and he lay with her, for she was cleansed from her impurity, and she returned to her house, and the woman conceived. So she sent and told David, and said, "I am with child." A mighty man, a man of faith, suddenly, in a moment, becomes a man of sight. A man of sight. He saw a woman that was very beautiful. There was another man, a judge, a deliverer, a Nazarite, who saw also. As we come to our text today, join me in the reading of Judges 14, verses 1 through 9, of another man who walked by sight. Judges 14, verses 1 through 9. "Now Samson went down to Timnah and saw a woman in Timnah of the daughters of the Philistines. So he went up and told his father and mother, saying, 'I have seen a woman in Timnah of the daughters of the Philistines. Now therefore, get her for me as a wife.' Then his father and mother said to him, 'Is there no woman among the daughters of your brethren or among all my people that you must go and get a wife from the uncircumcised Philistines?' And Samson said to his father, 'Get her for me, for she pleases me well.' But his father and mother did not know that it was of the Lord, for he was seeking an occasion to move against the Philistines. For at that time the Philistines had dominion over Israel. So Samson went down to Timnah with his father and mother and came to the vineyards of Timnah. Now to his surprise, a young lion came roaring against him. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he tore the lion apart as one would have torn apart a young goat, though he had nothing in his hand. But he did not tell his father or his mother what he had done. Then he went down and talked with the woman, and she pleased Samson well. After some time, when he returned to get her, he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion. And behold, a swarm of bees and honey were in the carcass of the lion. He took some of it in his hands and went along eating. When he came to his father and his mother, he gave some to them, and they also ate. But he did not tell them that he had taken the honey out of the carcass of the lion." A judge living by sight. A person living by sight is dangerous, it is deadly, it is destructive. Many of you, as Samson was, many of you are walking by your sight, walking by your senses, walking by your feelings, and you are walking by the dictates of your imagination. We are not to walk by sight, nor by senses, nor by feelings, nor by the dictates of our imagination. We are to walk by faith. The scripture says that the just shall live by faith, not by sight. We are to walk in God's ways, not our ways. Walking by faith will keep you from bad marriages. It will keep you from bad relationships. It will keep you from bad business partners. It will keep you from bad. Walking by faith will keep you from sin. Walking by faith is how you will fulfill the calling of God in your life, not walking by your senses. In our text, it says that Samson went down to Timnah, which means the divided or the assigned place. Right out of the gate, he leaves home to the divided place. And he saw a young Philistine woman. Saw in the sense she looked good. She looked good. But lest the women here think that they are excluded, we also find that our mother saw her also. In Genesis 3:6, it says, so when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took up its fruit and ate. She also gave it to her husband to eat. The woman saw. David saw. Samson saw. David knew that he couldn't have another man's wife. But he saw what pleased him, what was pleasant to him, what was desirable to him. Samson saw that she looked good. Eve saw the tree was good for food. It was pleasant. It made her feel good. And it was desirable. She was living by her senses. She was not living by faith. Faith told her, do not eat of the tree. God Almighty says, do not eat of the tree. But it looked good. We are bombarded today. We're bombarded today continually by what looks good, what is pleasing. We're bombarded by video, bombarded by television, bombarded by the internet with things that look good. Advertisements play on looking good. You don't see ugly people in the advertisements. You see it looks good, it's pleasurable, it's pleasant. It is desirable. The same thing. The world knows it. Satan knows it. We're bombarded, playing on looking good. This makeup will make you look good. These clothes will make you look good. The jewelry will make you look good. And the message behind that is, what you see is what you need. This image that you see is what you need. This is what will satisfy you finally. David was not satisfied in the Lord. So he saw the woman. This is where my satisfaction will come from. Samson saw the Philistine. He said, this is where my satisfaction will come from. Eve saw that the tree looked good. She said, this is where my satisfaction will come from. I'm not satisfied in God. My pleasure is not in God. The desire of my heart is not God. So I saw. Samson said, she pleases me. But he didn't say, what pleases God? She pleases me. In Judges 3, it says, get her for me, for she pleases me well. Not that she was a pagan, not that she was a Philistine. Verse 7, she pleased Samson well. She made him feel good. Sin makes you feel good. Sin makes you feel real good. But it doesn't tell you what the consequences thereof is. It will please you. If sin wasn't pleasurable, wasn't pleasing, the world wouldn't run to it. The church wouldn't run to it. Samson's senses and sight have him enslaved, like most of you. Your senses and your sight have you enslaved. You saw. You saw and you said, I want that. I need that. You give that to me. I will do whatever I have to do to get what I want. Because your pleasure and your delight is not in Almighty God. You are looking for fulfillment in a person, a place, or a thing. Because your satisfaction is not in, I am who I am. You see that person, you see that place, you see that thing, you see the money, you see the status, you see the kingdom, whatever it is, fill in the blank. You see. You live by sight, you don't live by faith. You will never be satisfied because that person, that place, or that thing that you're pursuing, that, my brother and sister, or pagan, is your personal idol. The worst thing that could happen to you is you find your satisfaction in that person, place, or thing. Because then Almighty God, He's turned you over. He's given you what you want. Once you begin to live for what pleases you, you will give in to the lust of the eyes, to the lust of the flesh, and to the pride of life. That's the history of Samson. The first thing is you see, you want, I need, give me. The first thing, that is what takes place. I want it. I see it, and I want it. Once that happens, once you begin to live by sight, the next thing is, you begin to reject biblical counsel. After you see that thing that you want, that person, place, or thing, the first thing you reject is biblical counsel, and the counsel that I'm talking about is from God Almighty Himself, from the Word, from the Bible. Once you see the thing, once that's your idol, once you put the desire of your heart towards that idol, then you reject the biblical counsel from the Word of God. The second thing you see Samson rejects in the text is the counsel of his parents, the counsel of those that are in authority. First you reject the Word, and then you reject the authority of your parents or whatever authority figure is over you, like a pastor or an elder. He's the next one to go. First God and His Word is gone, then your parents are gone, and then the pastor or the elder is gone. Your attitude becomes, I am going to do what I want, when I want to do it, and how I want to do it. That is the attitude of the people throughout the book of Judges. And unfortunately, that is the attitude of many of you. The text says about Samson that he did not honor. He did not honor his parents or authority. Samson not only told, you talk about chutzpah, Samson not only tells, he says to his father, now, therefore, get her for me as a wife. The father in that context, he ruled the roost. A father in those days, there was no question of him being the patriarch of the family. There was no question at all. The father said, and you did. Here's Samson, you talk about this, not you talk about breaking a commandment. Get her for me now. Now, therefore, I seen her, she's pretty, I want her. He told his mother and his father. He didn't ask them. He didn't ask for no kind of counsel. He comes strutting in. This is what you're going to do for me. I'm going to dictate to you what you're going to do. What does his parents do? They counsel him from the Scripture. They rely on the Scripture. What did his parents say to him? Verse 3. Then his father and mother said to him, is there no woman among the daughters of your brethren or among all my people that you must go and get a wife from the uncircumcised Philistine? That's not a coincidence that that word uncircumcised is there. It's very derogatory. He's like, Samson, you're out of your mind. You might as well marry the most the ugliest Israelite woman here, but don't even think of marrying this pagan. And when I say ugly, there's nothing worse than an ugly heart. And that's what the Lord is saying. You got your eyes on outward beauty, Samson. She looks good. She's all dolled up. Goes to show you my age. I'm sure no one even says that anymore. All dolled up. Turn to Genesis 24. They knew the Scriptures. Samson knew the Scripture. This is the way the father would have thought, Manoah would have thought, especially after he just had a vision from the angel of the Lord appeared to him in the previous chapter. Genesis 24, verse 3 and 4. And I will make you swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of this earth, that you will not take a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell. But you shall go to my country and to my family and take a wife for my son Isaac. You are to marry a believer. You are not to take, as you, Joe, you read, the Philistines worship Dagon. Samson, you're looking, she pleases you, somebody that worships Dagon? And you're going to be the deliverer of Israel? Turn to Genesis 26. Look what happens when the son ignores. 26, 34 and 35. When Esau, you want to be compared with Esau? When Esau was 40 years old, he took as wives Judith, the daughter of the Beeri, the daughter of Beeri the Hittite, and Basemath, the daughter of Elon the Hittite. And they were a grief of mine to Isaac and to Rebekah. Manoah knew the history. Samson knew the history. Moses told the people what should be done. Exodus 34, verse 16. We'll start at 15. We'll start at 14. Exodus 34, 14 to 16. For you shall worship no other God, for the Lord whose name is jealous is a jealous God, lest you make it covenant with the inhabitants of the land, and they play the harlot with their gods and make sacrifice to their gods, and one of them invites you. You eat of his sacrifice, and you take of his daughters for your sons, and his daughters play the harlot with their gods, and make your sons play the harlot with their gods. It's not that God is prejudiced. But what does light have to do with darkness? What does God have to do with Satan? What do the worshipers of God have to do with the worshipers of Baal? Samson doesn't honor his parents, doesn't honor the Scripture, rejects the counsel. Do you reject the counsel? How many times has God told you through his word, after he got done speaking to you through his word, then he used your parents, after he got done with your parents, then he used elders to tell you, this is what the Bible says, you cannot do this. But I saw that person, place, or thing, and I'm an idolater, and I want it. And I'm going to be satisfied one way or the other. Now, therefore, you go and get it for me, and if you don't, I'll find some schmuck that will. That was Samson's attitude. He rejects God's commands. God's law is not important to him. Samson is a person that is driven by their lust, by their appetites, about gratifying themselves. Samson is a foreshadow of upcoming chapters in the book of Judges. The Lord's setting the groundwork. The wickedness is going to get greater and greater and greater. Just like sin, it gets greater and greater and greater. Samson becomes a law unto himself. He's going to determine what is right and wrong, and he's going to determine it by his senses and by his feelings. He's not determining what's right and wrong from the Scripture, because he's certainly not getting, I'm going to go with this Philistine. So he's rejecting the counsel of the Scripture, rejecting the counsel of authority. And you know what? That's exactly where the book of Judges goes. Go to chapter 17, verse 6. In those days there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. Everybody is a law unto themselves. I'm going to do things the way that I want to do them. Judges 21. In those days there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. And what we do today as Christians, this is how it works. Yeah, I know the Bible says that. And I know you might have counseled me that, but the Spirit's telling me something else. See, that's how we take our idol and we dip it in gold. We dip the idol in gold and then we bring it out. And we sanctify it. But you rejected the Word of God. You rejected the counsel of the authority in your life. And you say, as Samson, that thing pleases me. And I want it. And I'll tell you one thing. If Exodus 20, verse 12, is not true in Samson's life, I don't know in whose life was that true. Exodus 20, verse 12. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God has given you. Honor them, honor those in authority, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord gave you. Anybody knows the story of Samson? Needless to say, he didn't stick around and become a grandfather. His life was cut real short. That's the wages of sin. That's the way it continues. God is not mocked. And don't forget what happens to Samson. He gets his eyes gouged out. You're into seeing. You're into walking by your sight. You're into using these gates, these eyes, these gates of the soul for wickedness. I'm going to have the Philistines gouge those eyes out. You talk about reaping what you sowed, the very thing. The very thing, and he saw. He saw. And how many of you here today, you saw, and you want, and you will do whatever is right in your own eyes. You disregard Scripture, counsel, and you say, I don't care. I'm going to get it. And you're right. You're going to get it. Get her for me, for she pleases me well. And are you saying, of the person, the place, the thing, the idol in your life, it pleases me well. It pleases me more than God Almighty pleases me. That's the issue. Is your pleasure in God? Or is your pleasure in some person, place, or thing? Remember, when Moses was up with the Lord, on Sinai, the people made a golden calf because it pleased them. It made them feel good. They were having a good time. A bunch of idolaters. The golden calf made them feel well. We see the character of Samson all over the book of Proverbs. Turn to Proverbs 10, verse 1. The Proverbs of Solomon. And you want to see the mercy of God? I'm reading you the Proverbs of Solomon. And remember who Solomon's mother was, Bathsheba. If you lose sight of the grace of God, but at a heavy price. The Proverbs of Solomon, a wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish son is the grief of his mother. For you that reject the authority, you reject the counsel of authority. You listen, you make the person glad. You don't listen, you're the grief. You're the grief of that person. 15:20 in Proverbs. A wise son makes a father glad, but a foolish mother despises his mother. A foolish man despises his mother. A wise son makes his father glad. A foolish man despises his mother. Chapter 17, verse 21 of Proverbs. He who begets a scoffer does so to his sorrow, and the father of a fool has no joy. Manoah had no joy. He was the father of a fool. Verse 25. A foolish son is a grief to his father and bitterness to her who bore him. And that is what God says about you, who would say, that thing pleases me more than you, God. The book of wisdom says you're a fool. And not only are you a fool, you break your father's heart, you break your mother's heart, and you break anybody who has authority over you, you break their heart. Yet, in spite of Samson's sin of disobedience, once again, as I said, the book of Judges is about the grace of God. Yet in spite of Samson's sin and disobedience, God is working all things out for His glory and for His purposes. In spite of, turn back to Judges 14, look at verse 4. But his father and mother did not know that it was of the Lord that he was seeking an occasion to move against the Philistines. God will even use your sin. He will use your rebellion in accomplishing his purposes. So don't think, well, I'm just accomplishing the Lord's purposes. Don't forget, it was also the Lord's purpose to put him between those two towers when they came down. Don't forget who Samson's rebellion, though he rebelled, there was dire consequences. God didn't say, you know, since I'm using you for my purposes. The Lord uses even our sin. He gives you the desire of your heart, permits you to indulge in that sin, and then uses it for his own purposes. How many of you, your life was an absolute disaster, full of sin, full of wickedness, and the Lord turned all that around to use for his glory? All of it. Samson, in verse 5, it says, Samson, notice, verse 5. So Samson went down to Timnah with his father and his mother. He went down to Timnah. In verse 1, it says, he went down to Timnah. In verse 7, it says that he went down to the woman. He went down. Sin takes you down. He went down. Jonah went down to Joppa. Jonah went down into the ship. And then not only did he go down into the ship, they brought him out from being down in the ship and threw him overboard. Then he went down into the mouth of the fish. When you disobey God and rebel against him, you will go down. Notice in verse 5, where he went down to. Samson went down to Timnah with his father and his mother and came to the vineyards of Timnah. That's a lovely place for a Nazarite to be. Here's Nazarite down at the vineyard. That's the attitude of how close can I get to that sin and not get torched? How close, Lord? Come on, tell me. Tell me. See, tell me, if I date a woman, if I'm single and she's single and I'm dating her, How close can I get? Can I kiss? Can I touch? How close? A Nazarite down in the vineyards. Grapes should have been the last thing on his mind. That's like a gambler going to Atlantic City, an alcoholic going to a bar and just filling the blanks. Nothing to do with grapes, raisins, nothing. Here he is. He goes down now to the vineyard. And now, to his surprise, see? Suddenly, see the last half of verse 5? Now, to his surprise, a young lion came roaring against him. Suddenly, to his surprise, he's thinking, I'm going to get what I want here. Yeah, I got my mother and father that finally agree. They can't take the abuse no more, and they wind up going down. I'm finally going to get what I want. Suddenly, to his surprise, a lion. Don't forget, brothers and sisters, when you are going down, when you are doing your own thing, there's a lion waiting right there. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. When you're going down, when you're doing your own thing, when you're pursuing your pleasures, suddenly, to his surprise, Samson was surprised. He thought he had it all figured out. It was going well. 1 Peter 5:8 though tells us, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Lions attack the weak and the sickly. All you do is watch one nature show. You watch them lions. They love the weak and the sickly. That's who they go after. Those who are not sober, those who are not vigilant. He walks, he seeks, and he wants to devour you. And you are easy pickings when you're doing your own thing. Because you've already rejected God's counsel. He's told you in his word. You've rejected the counsel of those in authority over you. So Satan just comes, and he got a deal for you. And you're going to bite, hook, line, and sinker because you're not taking counsel from the Word and you're not taking counsel from authority. But once again, as I said, you'll see the grace of God all throughout the book of Judges. Verse 6, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he tore the lion apart as one would have torn apart a young goat. That's what it means about his mercies are new every day. When we talk about his grace, his mercies are new every day. The Spirit came in power. Samson, notice what the text said, had nothing in his hand. Nothing in his hand. No weapon, nothing. The power of God. When the power of God comes, doesn't matter if you have nothing in your hand. Nothing in his hand. But don't forget this. That lion that came suddenly to him, that was a warning from Almighty God. Once again, you're being warned again today. A lion is yelling at you. It's a warning from Almighty God. The lion came, the Spirit came, but Samson doesn't repent. He doesn't repent. He wants to continue on his journey. And you know how he doesn't repent? He doesn't tell his parents. Notice what it said. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he tore the lion apart as one would have torn apart a young goat, though he had nothing in his hand. Right? You would think, now here's a guy, wow, look at this victory the Lord gave me. Ah, here comes a lion, I'm able to rip a lion in half. You would think that if you've seen the grace of God manifested in your life like that, it would cause you to think, wow, in spite of my rebellion, look how gracious the Lord is. But what does it do? But he did not tell his father or his mother what he had done. He doesn't tell his mother or father, you know why? Because the Nazarite is what? Not supposed to touch a dead body. And now he's unclean. So his mother and father would have said, listen, you got to go and get clean. It takes at least a day for you to become clean. He doesn't tell them. He doesn't want them to know. He's going to hide his sin. Once again, he has no time. I got to get down to that Philistine. Now he's unclean. I got to get to that Philistine. He doesn't want any delays. Verse 7 says he went down, ignoring God and parents. Samson ignores parents, those in authority, and he continues to live by faith. Continually. He has no regard for the vineyards, even though Nazarites would have nothing to do with grapes, and he continues on. Down with the vineyards. Here comes the lion. Lord shows him mercy. The Holy Spirit comes on him. The lion roars. The lion was a warning from God. But Samson is blinded by what he wants. Like many of you, you're blinded by what you want. His killing of the lion, he hides from his parents. As I said, he doesn't want any delays. He went down, and it says he talked with the uncircumcised Philistine woman, and she pleased him well. He is hell-bent on fulfilling the lust of his eyes, the lust of his flesh, and the pride of life. Doesn't matter his parents came to him. It doesn't matter that the lion came to him. It doesn't matter. Like with many of you. No matter what God Almighty does, if he chastises you, I still want that thing. If he blesses you with abundance of whatever you want to put in that box, if he chastises you, you're not pleased with him. If he blesses you, you're still not pleased with him. No matter what he does. Just like the Lord said, I send John the Baptist, he plays the dirge, you don't want him. I come eating and drinking, play the flute for you all, happy and clappy, you don't want me. Samson, same thing. It doesn't matter. Look at verse 8 of Judges 14. And after some time, verse 7 said, she pleased Samson well. And after some time, when he returned to get her, he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion. Samson returns to take her, and what does he do? Now he turns aside to see the carcass. Just what a Nazarite should be doing. Dead body, have nothing to do with the dead, don't touch the dead. Here's Samson again, living by sight, and he saw. He saw the Philistine, he saw the vineyards, he saw the carcass. Samson's blinded by what he wants. Once again, he turns to see the dead carcass. A Nazarite is to have nothing to do with dead bodies. First vineyard, now dead body, sin is increasing. First in his life. Sight is this. Here's the essence of living by sight. Let's go at it from a lust standpoint. Since we're talking about Samson looking at a Philistine woman. But you take that first look. It's when you go back for the second look. So all the fellas understand what I'm talking about. You look one time, and then you look the second time. The first time is when you repent. The second time is when it's sin. Just like Samson. He sees the carcass, and he turns in. Let me check out that dead body. I know the Lord, but it's kind of a little different thing. And there's something in that carcass. It's honey. He has a problem with honeys. A Nazarite was to have nothing to do with dead bodies, nor vineyards, nor Philistine honeys, be them bees, honey bees, or Philistines, honey. First in his life, and now the nature of sin. We see the sin increase. We see it in Samson's life, and that's the nature of sin. He takes the honey now out of the dead body. And what does he do? He takes the honey out of the dead body. He sees a hive of bees. He sees the honey in there. And what's he do? He takes the honey out and he starts eating it. And it's not only enough for him to eat it. Now he gives it to his parents. So that's the way sin works in your life. First it's your private little deal. And then it blossoms. Becomes stinkweed. And then you get your brothers and your sisters involved in your sin. There's Samson taking the honey out, touching the corpse, taking the honey out of the corpse, then going to his parents. Jews would have nothing to do with dead bodies. Not only Nazarites, nothing to do with dead bodies. He takes the honey out, and what does it say? 14. Chapter 14. After some time, verses 8 and 9. After some time, when he returned to get her, going back to the Philistine woman, he turned aside to see the carcass. Notice the chapter starts by he saw a woman, he sees the carcass, and behold, a swarm of bees and honey were in the carcass of the lion. He took some of it in his hands and went along eating. When he came to his father and his mother, he gave some to them, and they also ate. But he did not tell them that he had taken the honey out of the carcass of the lion. Once again, he's not saying nothing to his parents. He's hiding his sin, hiding it, causing them to become unclean. And you, brothers and sisters, will cause those around you, in your pursuit of persons, places, and things, you will cause those around you to sin. King David saw he had to have what the law forbid. He chose to walk by sight. Samson saw he had to have what the law forbid. He decided to follow his feelings. She pleases me well. That thing pleases you well, as opposed to God. God is your inheritance. You have the royal priesthood. The Levites' inheritance was God Almighty. Your inheritance is God Almighty, not a person, place, or a thing that you're chasing after. Samson saw he had to have what the law forbid. She pleases me well. Now, what a contrast these men are to Joseph, Jacob's son. Turn to Genesis 39. Genesis 39, verses 6 through 10. Thus he left all that he had in Joseph's hand. And he did not know what he had except the bread which he ate. See, he didn't have a bunch of stuff. Now Joseph was handsome in form and in appearance. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast longing eyes on Joseph. And she said, lie with me. Now she looks at him and says, he looks good. It pleases me well. His master's wife cast longing eyes on Joseph, and she said, lie with me. But he refused. See, he refused and said to his master's wife, look, my master does not know what it is with me in the house, and he has committed all that he has to my hand. He had a respect for authority. He had an honor for that one that was over. He has committed all that he has to my hand. There is no one greater in this house than I. Nor has he kept back anything from me but you. Because you are his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? The exact opposite of Samson. He is faced with the temptation. He is faced with Potiphar's wife. And she, there ain't even no struggle there. And what does he do? He honors those that are in authority over him. And he honors the scripture. And he honors God Almighty and says, and sin against God? How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? First of all, your sin is great wickedness. It's great wickedness. And it is against God Almighty, the thrice holy God. And sin against God. Verse 10. So it was as she spoke to Joseph day by day. Day by day. That he did not heed her to lie with her. Or to be with her. The master's wife saw sight, sought satisfaction. She saw, she wanted. She wanted that person, Joseph. And Joseph's response, he honors the one in authority. And secondly, he honors and obeys God Almighty. Because Joseph was a man who lived by faith. And he didn't live by sight. He knew the wages of sin is death. He knew that he was not supposed to fornicate with a woman outside of marriage. He knew that that was his master's wife. He knew what God required and demanded out of him. And he said, no matter what, if I got to wind up back in that pit again, I'm not going to sin against God Almighty. And Samson, he's just like most today. I want my thing. I don't care who it hurts, what I want. Just look around you. All kind of destroyed marriages, destroyed relationships, turn lock key, whatever you call. In other words, there ain't nobody home for them. Just destroyed. Guys saying, I want what I want. Women saying, I want what I want. Children saying, I want what I want. Churches saying, I want what I want. And I don't care. I want what I want, and that's the end of the story. Remember, the next time you say, I want what I want, read the lesson of Samson very closely. See what happens in Samson's life. And remember, Samson is a type of deliverer, a type of Christ in the book of Judges. And look what the Lord permitted to happen in his life because Samson continually demanded his own way. We, as believers, Paul tells us how we are to walk now. We're not to walk because that person, place, or thing looks good and it pleases me. Paul tells us this is how the child of God should walk. Romans 6, verses 1 through 4. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? You're saved by grace. Justified by faith. Saved by grace. Have eternal life. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? He just got done saying in chapter 5, where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. Is that what you're saying? Because you continually want to pursue this thing that's pleasing you. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. God forbid, Kalila, the most negative term Paul could use. Don't even let it enter your mind. How shall we who died to sin? How shall we who died to sin? Not going to continue to live in its dominion. We've died to the power of sin in our life. How shall we live any longer in it? Or do you not know? Not your feelings. Do you not know with your head, with your brain? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? You are dead. There's no room for Philistines in your life anymore. You have died. Verse 3. Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, this is what it's there for. We were buried with him. Buried. That's death. Buried. Through baptism into death. That just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father. This is where your pleasure is. By the glory of the Father. What is the chief end of man? To glorify God. You was raised by the glory of Father. Even so, we also shall walk in newness of life. Not walk in our sight and our senses and what we want. We are to walk in newness of life. And that newness of life is a life that is walked in by faith, by believing what God Almighty has said. And I would urge you to walk in newness of life. Once again, that lion would suddenly come out. But there's no guarantee that the Spirit of the Lord will come mightily upon Samson. Don't presume upon the grace of God. Brothers and sisters, please, don't presume upon the grace of God.